Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Roseski. Today is Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. Thanks for checking in on the first day of the fourth quarter. Before we look at some headlines, let's look to the week ahead. Looks like we should have summer temperatures until and through the weekend, so everyone has an opportunity to raise a glass. Today, Wednesday, is International Coffee Day. Thursday is World No Alcohol Day. Friday is Global Smoothie Day. And Saturday is National Vodka Day. So there is really a day for everyone. However you celebrate, please celebrate responsibly. In this episode, we start with the ever-popular You Can't Make This Stuff Up file. We'll do a little trivia to see what you know compared to some results of some national polls of U.S. voters. Take a look at how much property values are going up. And we wrap it up with a quote from POTUS number 34, probably the second most important Army general in our history behind George Washington, because of his role as a commander of the U.S. Army during World War II in the European theater. Do you know who it is? Good luck. I will let you know after we jump into some news together. Starting off, this is fresh out of the You Can't Make This Stuff Up file because it really hit the fan on Friday. And you may have seen this story about ICE detaining the Des Moines superintendent of schools because he wasn't authorized to work in the United States. There's a lot of info that doesn't necessarily add up in some of the stories that I've seen, because one source said he came to the U.S. in 1999. Another said he received his bachelor's degree from Coppin State University in 1998. But here's some of the most amusing highlights from the situation. I wanted to pass him along. I assume he was continuing to stay in the U.S. as a student because he earned his master's degree in 2020. He attended a doctorate program at Morgan State from 2022 to 2027. Supposedly another master's degree from Georgetown in 2013. Maybe he took classes at MIT somewhere in there. Who knows? But he got arrested for having a loaded gun in his vehicle during a deer hunting trip back in 2022. And there was a final deportation order issued in 2024. I wonder if the first thing caused him to be on the radar, which resulted in the deportation order. It's a couple of things that just don't look good. So when ICE agents approached his vehicle Friday morning, he was in his car and he took off. His car was later found abandoned, and I think he continued on foot into a wooded area. It says he was detained. I assume it was somewhere around there. When he was detained, he had a loaded gun, $3,000 in cash, and a fixed blade hunting knife. Since it was Friday morning, it was reasonable to assume that he's probably headed on his way to work. Having that stuff with him, not a good look. Loaded firearms and education just in general are not good optics and shouldn't be going together. There's a lot there. Also, if you always had that on hand, it's like he was preparing to bug out at any moment. He kind of knew it was coming, especially if he had a deportation order that's about a year old. Since this all started to come out, the Des Moines Register newspaper had a couple of articles with some great headlines. The first was, "Who did the background check on the Des Moines superintendent? Here's what we know." What an obviously great question. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because not only did he claim to be eligible to work in the United States when he applied, he claimed to have a doctorate from Morgan State. However, that university said he didn't receive the degree, although he went there from 2022 to 2027. There were quite a few chances to catch this before it became a massive embarrassment. I'm pretty sure all of rural Iowa is looking at Des Moines and it's collectively shaking its head. He was suspended without pay briefly on Monday before he officially resigned. And I'm going to take a wild guess and I'll say that there may be some turnover on the school board also. Even if nobody resigns from the board, any challenger will have great campaign material. In other news, here's a quick look at some numbers I found interesting, and I will start with a one-question quiz. Is it illegal to burn the American flag in the United States? Yes or no? Is it something, say, you can get arrested for? Well, time's up. The answer is no. It is considered free speech, and you will not be arrested for burning the American flag. According to a national survey of registered voters, 61% mistakenly believed it is currently illegal to burn the American flag. I appreciate the sentiment, but they are wrong. Only 30% got that question correct. On a similar note, people were asked, if the United States was founded on the ideals of freedom, equality, and self-governance, what percentage do you think said yes? If you thought a majority of people, over 50%, you would be right. You would hope it's as close to 100% as possible. The actual answer is, in this survey, it was 84% said they believe that. Only 10% did not, which I also think says something to the vast majority of people currently believing in the American experiment, which is another cause for hope. However, when it comes to government, people just aren't quite sure what to believe. 41% of voters say the costs and regulations that come from the benefits provided by the government are worth it, and 36% disagree. 41 to 36%, it's pretty much a toss-up, which is the reason why not much ever happens. Because a distinct majority of people will have to agree with that before there might be some real change or maybe some doging of the government. Interesting that they used the term benefits of government instead of something like services, which might be an insight into the mentality of the person that wrote the question. Another interesting set of results is that 34% of voters say cutting government spending helps the economy, and 35% disagreed, saying cutting government spending doesn't help the economy. Just another example, there's no appetite or belief that things should change, so the status quo will continue. Government will continue to expand its demands, its bureaucratic oversight, and taxes will continue to creep higher because the system can keep on going on and doing what it's doing, which leads us to our next story. In other news, lots of us have been seeing massive jumps in property tax assessments. Maybe you've seen it in some news clips. Maybe you've seen it on your property tax bill. Well, it is more out of control than you might have thought. Maybe you thought it was already out of control. Here, from just 2024 to 2025, in Door County alone, assessments went up by $1.6 billion. For the state as a whole, residential and commercial property values went up by about $75 billion. That is in 1 year. Now, granted, they have been going up every year for a decade, but this jump takes the cake. Actually, in Wisconsin, if it goes up another $20 billion, we will overall break the $1 trillion mark for residential and commercial property values. Interesting thing, the insanity isn't just here either. It is across the entire nation. America's total housing market in the past 5 years, so pretty much COVID and after, has gained $20 trillion with a T. And that's just housing. That's just residential. Add this to the list of things that just seem unsustainable. And by the way, if you're interested in the stats on your particular town or the county you live in, the Wisconsin Policy Forum has done research on this. They have graphs. You can find it at their website. And finally, going back to the topic of schools, between the Des Moines debacle and in honor of the Milwaukee School District, who was years behind on their financial reporting and still scrambling to get caught up, I leave you with a quote from POTUS number 43. Did you know who it is? It's Dwight D. Eisenhower, who said, "The proper role of government, however, is that of partner with the educator, with the parent, and with the community. Such partnership must be based on a full understanding of the facts." That's an area of growth. Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.